At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Could John Kennedy be set to stay at Celtic with the imminent arrival of Brendan Rodgers? Rangers complete the signing of Sam Lammers on a four-year deal, and Lewis Ferguson details how life in Italy can help him kick on with Scotland. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Simon Donnelly. And once again, there is so much happening, isn't there, Simon?
Well, I was worried coming in. Close season, you got me in for an hour's show, and I thought, what are we going to talk about? But there's plenty to talk about. Obviously, the obvious things, the new Celtic manager. The last time I was in this studio, I didn't believe Ange Postecoglou would leave. I was proved wrong, and now we're talking about possibly Brendan Rodgers coming back. So all to talk about.
Yeah, lots to get our teeth into. Of course, if you've got any thoughts on Brendan Rodgers, maybe John Kennedy as well, give us a call on 0141 951 1025. But there is some breaking news coming out of Ibrox as well, just announced 3 minutes ago, and that's Rangers signing Sam Lammers on a four-year deal. The Atalanta striker becomes their fourth summer signing after Kieran Dowell, Dujon Sterling and Jack Butland. He's a striker, a Dutch striker who has spent some time out on loan over the last couple of seasons, but it was certainly an area that Michael Beale had to strengthen, wasn't it? Especially with the departure of Alfredo Morelos.
Yeah, definitely. Don't know much about the lad. Dutch striker. I think Rangers need one or two strikers in that position. I think he's been round about the houses without too many goals. He's maybe just looking for the perfect platform. There was a Dutchman that came into Murrow last year and couldn't stop scoring. So, as I say, I don't know much about him, but yeah, Rangers getting their business done quite early.
Well, whatever you want to talk about, we're here for you. 0141 951 1025. Aberdeen signing Leighton Clarkson on a permanent deal as well. I'm sure you're delighted about that, Aberdeen fans. Of course, there's that big game against Norway coming up on Saturday, and today there was the sad news of the passing of former Scotland defender Gordon McQueen as well, at the age of 70, following his battle with dementia. Maybe you've got some memories, some stories you'd like to share about him as well. We would love to hear them. But that was some very sad news today, Simon.
It was indeed, and I don't think I met Gordon over the years, but certainly growing up, the goal against England, you know, I would only have been about 4 or 5, but it was relayed or replayed over and over on the TV. A fantastic career, believe a big character as well. And it's just, yeah, terribly sad news. 70 years of age, I know he'd been suffering with a couple of illnesses, and yeah, just sad news.
Well, as I say, any memories or stories about Gordon McQueen, we'd like to hear them. 0141 951 1025, or any of today's big topics, whether it's Brendan Rodgers, whether it's John Kennedy, Sam Lammers signing for Rangers. Maybe you're an Aberdeen fan that's excited at the fact Leighton Clarkson has signed a four-year deal, or maybe you're looking ahead to that game against Norway. Of course, Steve Clarke's side up against Norway and Erling Haaland. That's going to be a big game on Saturday.
I just hope the big man's been celebrating like Jack Grealish and has still nursing a hangover, because he's a real threat. I know he hasn't scored for a little bit, and that's probably the worrying thing from a Scottish point of view. But we've started this campaign, Andrew, really well. If you can cut the supply off to him, but it's easier said than done.
Yeah, the Norway manager has confirmed he will be fit for that game on Saturday, so that's one for us to look forward to, and we will look at that in a bit more detail later on in the show. But we'll go back to that news coming out of Ibrox, because it is the fresh news of the day. It only broke it at 6 o'clock, Rangers announcing that signing of Sam Lammers, and Rangers certainly needing a striker on paper. One thing that Rangers fans may look at is his goal-scoring record over the last few seasons hasn't been overly impressive. He went to Atalanta after leaving Holland. He only scored a couple of goals for them. He's then had time out on loan at the likes of Eintracht Frankfurt. He's been at Empoli. He's been at Sampdoria. I think it's only a total of six goals in the last 3 years. Some people would point, though, to the fact that, you know, he is playing in Serie A and Bundesliga. Yeah. It's a high level he's playing at, and whether he's starting many games.
I'm not
as
sure.
Well.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly. You don't know how many games the lad started. It's never easy when you're jumping. You can't get any continuity and you've got no consistency at a club. It's difficult to jump from club to club and trying to find form. As I said earlier on, maybe this is the perfect platform for him to go and show what he can do. Michael Beale obviously knows a lot about him. It's a 4-year contract, did you say?
Yep.
So, yes, yeah, it's an opportunity. I mean, he's only 25, 26, so this is maybe where he kickstarts his career.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Beale has said that a lot of his signings, you'll be able to see the link of why he's brought them in. Certainly the first three signings, Jack Butland, Kieran Dowell, Dujon Sterling, have all been players that he's either worked with before or been aware of down in England. This one is a bit more out there because, you know, there's maybe no obvious link there, but he must be a player that Michael Beale has tracked for quite a while.
Yeah, he's obviously caught his eye, thinks he can bring something to the Rangers team. And as I say, sometimes you look at the stats and the goals and stuff, and there's maybe another story behind it. You know, the lad's maybe just not had a lot of game time. And as I say, this is maybe the opportunity for him to come and settle down. It's a 4-year contract, get his head on his football and show what he can do.
01419511025. We'd love to hear from you. Billy is a Rangers fan up first in Clydebank. Billy, how are you feeling about that signing of Sam Lammers?
Yeah, it's a strange one. I've not heard of the guy before, and obviously there's but I think he'll do well. I really do, because a 4-year deal, obviously it takes a while to get them, you know, to get bedded into a team and all the rest of it. But what my point was, and I spoke to your producer, Ross, first of all, my condolences to Gordon McQueen's family. I actually met the guy, and he was an absolute diamond. It was in Central Station in Glasgow, and we spent half an hour talking about Man United, and I'm devastated by it. Anyway.
Yeah, well said, Billy.
My point was, Michael Beale has done the exact same as what Ange Postecoglou has done in the last couple of years. Get right in there early, get his signings in and all the rest of it, get them in place, so it's throughout the pre-season training and all the rest of it. It can get them working as a team. And I just hope that everything goes well.
Yeah, Simon, how vital is that for a manager to get bodies in the door early? Because Michael Beale did promise Rangers fans that there would be new faces in training the first day of pre-season. There's already four in the door. There may be more to come as well.
It certainly helps. And I think this is probably Michael Beale's most important transfer window up until now. He's only had one, obviously, but the last one he was just kind of back in the door, assessing what he had. And then obviously, you know, through time, he realises what he thinks he wants for the team, and he brings in one or two there that have done well, Cantwell and the likes. And this is the biggest transfer window for him because it's a new season. You're looking against your team across the road that have just taken another treble, you know, so the contest is there. So it's an important one for him. But yeah, I mean, looking back from my small time in coaching, it's better to get your players in early and get them settled. That is the ideal situation.
Yeah, Billy, how much are you looking forward to next season and seeing, you know, a team in Michael Beale's image? Because he was only able to bring in two players in January, and Todd Cantwell and Nicholas Raskin. A lot of Rangers fans have been impressed with those signings and what they offered in the second half of the season. But when you look going forward, he'll be able to bring in quite a few players in this transfer window. He already has. Are you expecting a very different Rangers at the start of next season? And does that excite you?
Yeah, that excites me totally, Andrew. I mean, obviously, I'm a season ticket holder at Ibrox, and I go every week. Well, every second week, obviously. But I've seen Raskin and Towner and all the rest of it. And I'm looking forward to it because Michael Beale has got a bit about him. I watch him on the touchline and all the rest of it, and he has got the bit about him. He talks the talk, and I just hope he can walk the walk because he's brought in the other two, as you say, in January, and these other ones, I'm really looking forward to the season, and I think we can give Celtic a chase.
Does that give you confidence when you look at the signings of Cantwell and Raskin? You said you've been impressed with them, even though you don't really know much about Sam Lammers. Do you put your trust in Michael Beale that he's got an eye for a player because you've seen what he's managed to do with those two players?
Yeah, so because he came out to Watson last of the season and said, I know who I want in the year. And he's coming through and he's told us what players, you know, many players are coming in and all the rest of it. And he's obviously looked at these guys and he's not just going to sign somebody for the sake of signing them. He shut the Rangers plans up. He knows what they're doing. He can accept it. And I really think he knows what's happening.
Yes, Simon, it's a reported fee of around £3 to £3.5 million for you. If a striker is coming into Rangers for that type of money, are they almost an automatic starter? Just, you know, are they being brought in to essentially start every game with that kind of price tag?
He's not there to be a squad player at that price. And the fact that it's a 4-year contract, obviously Michael Beale really fancies the lad and thinks he can work alongside him and he can bring something to the Rangers team. So, I mean, that's, to me, states he's going to be fighting for a first-team start, really.
And quite often, Michael Beale, towards the end of the season, was playing with two strikers. He played with Ryan Kent in behind and two up top. So, do you think Rangers still need to bring in another striker as well
of Lammers? I do think that, yeah, because obviously with Morelos left, it leaves him a wee bit light, and I think he would be looking to. I don't know, is this lad an out and out striker?
Yeah.
So I think they would be looking to get another one in as well. But it's a bold move, as I say, four year deal. You know, you'd be looking for him to come in and do the business.
Billy, what's next for Rangers in the transfer market? What would you like to see Michael Beale address next when it comes to the team?
I would like to, obviously, I know he's holding on with that, but I'd like to see another striker come in because I think we're going to lose Čolak. I think Čolak will get out this summer.
Why do you think that? Do you not think, I mean, he didn't get too much game time towards the end of the season. Is that what makes you think he could be off?
No, it's not too much game time, but what game time he did have, he produced. And there's a lot of teams down, I think there's a few teams down south, especially in the Championship, are looking at him. And I think, honestly, I think Čolak will be away. And I think we need another striker. And I would like to see somebody else, and they're right back.
I mean, Dujon Sterling has been brought in at right back. He looks as if he'll be competing with James Tavernier in that area. I just wonder about Malik Tillman as well. Billy, that one's gone relatively quiet at the moment. Is he a player you'd like to see back at Ibrox next season? What's your sort of feelings towards that at the moment?
I'd like to see Tillman back, but I don't think he will be.
Yeah, Simon, it has gone quite quiet. He was Young Player of the Year in Scotland last season at the PFA Awards. What kind of feeling do you get around that? Do you think if a deal was going to happen, it maybe would have been struck already?
I think so. I think the way everything was left there, I believe he was back over to pick up his award, excuse me, after he kind of left the building. So I would be surprised if Tillman came back. I thought he was decent for Rangers. I think maybe the only thing that let him down was, or maybe the Rangers fans would look at, he never really stamped his authority in any games against Celtic. Which are games that you're kind of judged on. But I thought he was decent enough, but I think they'll look elsewhere.
Billy, just where are your confidence levels heading into next season? There's obviously, you know, a change of manager ongoing at Celtic at the moment. It looks as if it's going to be Brendan Rodgers. Can you take anything from what is maybe a potential bit of disruption over there and a new manager coming in and new methods?
Well, I think... no offence, but I'm not really. I don't really think about over there, as you said. I just think at the present moment, Rangers are on a strife. Michael Beale has got a thing in mind. Obviously, he spoke to his coaching staff and everything else. The board are behind, obviously, Michael Beale at the present moment. And I think things are going to go different this year.
Yeah, well, Billy is hoping that things will be different next year, I suppose.
Are going to be different.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah, I mean, how do you view that? It's completely understandable that Billy only wants to focus on his own team. Is that something that anyone within Rangers, do you think, would be looking across the city, and the fact that there is going to be a change of manager, and if there's any way that they can capitalise on, if there is any disruption? The thing is, there may not be, it may be a case of Brendan Rodgers comes in and it's a smooth transition.
Yeah, listen, we don't know. I think if you're a Rangers fan, you're looking for anything, you know, to give your side a lift. Ange Postecoglou leaving, he's left a really attacking, strong squad. I would suggest that, you know, the manager coming in to go and build on, he's got a real opportunity to keep kicking on. The question is, does he come back for some of the players, or can they hold on to, you know, the better players? You know, Hatate was linked with Tottenham during the week there. So that's the task for the next guy coming in, if it's Brendan Rodgers. But again, you know, 2 years ago, we hadn't heard of Ange Postecoglou, and a lot of the players that have come in have went on to do really well at Celtic. It's football, you know, and I think if it's Brendan Rodgers coming in, he'll probably tap into another field, a different network from what Ange was tapping into. Can he blend that with what he's already got? You know, that's the Celtic side of it. Can he go and improve that team?
It's quite obvious that there is going to be a lot of change at Rangers. Already 4 players in the door, plenty of players have left. There were certainly those 5 senior players that left at the end of their contract.
Yeah.
Would you expect there to be as much change at Celtic if Brendan Rodgers is appointed in the next few days?
That's the interesting thing. If we were sitting here and it was still Ange Postecoglou in charge, I still think there would be new blood in the door. I think you have to keep trying to strengthen. Now I'm unsure, because there's players there that have obviously come in under his tenure that worked with him previously. As I say, it's interesting times, and if it's Brendan coming in, you know, what is he going to bring to the party in terms of, I mean, some of his signings before were really good for Celtic, excellent signings. Can he do that again? Can he add to this team? I would, for whatever guy that walks in that door, he's got a really good squad there to go and get his teeth into.
Finally, Billy, just looking at the 3 signings that Rangers have already made in this transfer window, how are you feeling about them? Are you quite happy with the ones that have been brought in?
Yep, I'm really happy with them, yep. They're boosting up the team and all the rest of it, so yeah, I think there might be another 2 to 3 players coming in.
Is that the sort of ballpark that you'd think there would be, Simon? 2 to 3 more players for Rangers? Do you think there could
maybe
be more than that? Does
maybe
it depend
more
on who goes out potentially?
Yeah, maybe more. I think so. I mean, what is that they're at now? 4? If this lad's the 4th signing already, I think Rangers could probably have another 4 or 5 signings by the start of the season.
Well, thank you to Billy. Of course, there is a lot going on at Celtic as well, with the imminent arrival of Brendan Rodgers. Stories today that John Kennedy could be set to stay at Celtic after talk earlier in the week that he was wanting to join Ange Postecoglou at Tottenham. So if you've got any thoughts on that, give us a call on 0141 951 1025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And still time for you to get involved as well. 0141 951 1025. Let's take a look at Celtic. Plenty of opinions there about Rangers and their transfer business. But we'll take a look at Celtic now, Simon, because I think the last time you were here, It was a very different situation. Ange Postecoglou was in charge. Celtic were, you know, hunting down the treble, which they achieved. Yeah. And now Ange Postecoglou's gone. Brendan Rodgers is in charge. Just how have you thought?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It can be crazy at times. I mean, if you'd said to me, if you'd suggested to me two and a half weeks ago that Andrew would have moved on and Celtic would be looking as if they're going to appoint Brendan Rodgers again, you know, I would not have predicted that at all. But it's football, it's the way things go. I was over at a wedding last week in Italy, and the betting had stopped apparently on Brendan Rodgers, but you're never entirely sure. But just reading between the lines, it looks as if it's heading towards that now, which I think is a good move. I know there'll be Celtic fans out there that weren't enamoured with the way he left the last time, or the timing of his departure. But the guy won 7 out of 7 here. He was incredibly successful. He knows the club. He's more than just safe hands. He's capable hands. And I think it would be a good appointment.
With the way he left, I suppose at that point, back in February 2019, could you ever have envisaged that Brendan Rodgers would be Celtic manager again at some point?
No, absolutely not. But again, you then have to stop and correct yourself. In football, things like this happen over and over again. What I will say is, I mean, if I was in his shoes, it'd be fantastic to get another chance at a club like Celtic. Lots of people don't. So I think it'd be a good appointment. I think if there's finance there for him to go and improve what he's got just now, I think, yeah, exciting times.
01419511025 is the number Raja in Cardonald has dialed. Raja, looks as if Brendan Rodgers is going to be announced as the Celtic manager at some point over the next few days. Is an appointment you'll be happy with?
I'm very, very happy with that appointment. You know, the reason is a lot of Celtic fans don't want him back. But if you think why Rodgers left was because the board wouldn't back him. Remember, he wanted to sign Neil McGinn and they never signed him. And then they signed Suede when Rodgers turned and said, I've already got a million mingers. So I think he thought the board wouldn't back him up. But this time when he comes around, Simon must know this, I've heard he's demanded 30 million in transfer fees with already the team they've got. So I think we should, you know, let him, I think it'd be a great appointment.
I wish I did, Raja. I don't know the.
I think it was John McGinn that Raja meant as well, just right, to
yeah,
correct
of course, yeah. I don't know, you know, a lot about it. I know I do stuff at the park, but I don't know the ins and outs of budgets or whatever. What I just know is that looking out from the outside, like everybody else, it looks as if he's going to be appointed very soon. I was surprised that maybe it wasn't something mentioned today before we came into the show. But yeah, I think he's in a position where if they've been talking with the board over the last few days, he will be looking for finance there to go and bring his own players in. As I say, I think he's inheriting a really good squad, a young attacking squad with players that are continuously growing season after season. It'll be his job to try and hold on to a few of them, the ones that he wants, and go and try and add to that. I think in that case, it's the same as Ange. Ange would have did the same, you know, but I think just the interesting thing from the whole scenario is he will tap into a different field. Ange has very much been tapping into a certain field for the last 2 years with great success. Brendan now, through his network, particularly down south, it'll be interesting to see what players he brings to the club if he gets the job.
Raja, just how excited are you at that prospect? If Brendan Rodgers does get a lot of money to spend, how exciting could next season be for Celtic if A, he comes back, and B, he is given that backing and that budget?
Oh, very excited. You know, I've got a lot of Rangers fans and, you know, my friends and that, but I mean, I actually worry for them because they're signing, you know, okay, we don't know, Michael Beale's done a good few signings, but with Celtic, I think Rodgers is only here for Europe. We need to do something in Europe. I don't think Rangers will beat us in the next couple of years. I can't see it. With the squad we've already got, and if he gets, like you said, that money, then I think I'm very excited. At the same time, Europe, we need to do something in Europe, because for a club like Celtic not being, you know, later rounds of Europe is quite criminal, if you say it.
Do you think Brendan Rodgers will feel he needs a big budget, Simon, because of the squad that's assembled at the moment? It's a pretty deep squad as it is, yeah. And a lot of the players have been very good for Celtic under Ange Postecoglou. Do you think he'll feel that, you know, if he is to improve any of the areas, it will take a good bit of money to upgrade in the areas he'll want to?
Yeah, I think so. But I think that would have been the same with Ange, because the players have done so well. But you can always improve a squad. And that was the challenge, I think, that I thought Ange Postecoglou would take ahead this season coming. I think he would have took the challenge. Raj is talking about Europe. I thought he would have wanted another go at the Champions League, try and get out of that group. So now it's going to be the opportunity for somebody else coming in. And that's why it's such an attractive opportunity to come in, because unlike, you would say, Ange coming in 2 seasons ago, this guy, if it's Brendan, is going to be building from, you know, a team that have just won the treble.
Raja, do you think this current Celtic team needs a lot of work to find success in Europe, or find more success in Europe than they have in previous seasons, or do you think it's maybe just tweaks here and there?
No, because this current squad in Europe last season was quite bad. You know, we got done over because we attacked every team, and then okay, we would bring Europe up. We always got beat somehow. We score 3, they score 4, whatever. But I think Rodgers is wise enough to add a couple of, you know, top players and score goals but defend at the same time. Ange was one-way traffic, let's go. If we win 5-4, we win. But I think we will do something in Europe this year. I mean, Rangers, well done to them. I mean, they done brilliant with Gio when they got to the final. So hopefully, you know, when Rodgers comes in, a good wee tweak, and we should get there.
Simon, are Celtic getting a better manager than the one that left 4 years ago?
It's a good question. He's went to Leicester, won the cup there, finished fifth twice. This season's been unfortunate. You know, sometimes you get into that kind of rut and you just plummet, and I never for 1 minute, even up until the end of the Premiership, I didn't think they were going to go down. I thought they had players there that, many times have we said that before. I think he will be a better manager for even the relegation. I think all managers and coaches have to take experience from, you know, the good and the bad. So to answer your question, 4 years later, I think he must be. He's more experienced, and he has the advantage of, you know, he's been in that hot seat before, and I can imagine it is a hot seat. You know, it's a big club, Celtic. It's a huge job to take on board. He's done it before, and he's done it successfully.
And fans will be interested to see how he sets up in Europe, whether it is differently from what we saw last time at Celtic.
I think, remember, he took a couple of heavy defeats as well.
Yeah, you know, there were still some good results in there, Manchester City, but against, you know, some other teams as well, the likes of Barcelona and PSG.
Against Bayern, Paris. I mean, you know, it's tough against these sides. It's interesting to hear Rodgers. You know, it wasn't too enamoured with Celtic last year. I know Celtic took a couple of heavy defeats last year, but I quite liked their approach. People might call me naive, but that's the way I like. You know, I liked his approach. That's what attracted me to his football. You know, as Rodgers says, if they score four, we'll get five. I quite like that. That wasn't always the case with Celtic. They would run over the top of teams domestically. And that's where I was looking forward to seeing how he would approach this campaign. Brendan will probably approach it in his own way. But I still like to see Celtic going and attacking and trying to do, especially in the home games.
Well, thank you to Raja. Let's speak to Paul, who's in Carluke. Paul, what are your thoughts on the potential return of Brendan Rodgers, or anything that's sticking at the front of your mind at the moment?
Well, I think all the negative publicity will disappear very quickly once he's back in the job. I mean, you've got to remember, Brendan Rodgers is what's known nowadays as an elite manager, and for him to come back to Celtic is pretty major. He won an FA Cup with Leicester, almost got them into Champions League twice. I know it didn't end well, but, you know, as Simon says, he's actually improved his experience since the last time. But my main point is who's going to be in charge of the transfer strategy, because under Lee Congleton, I think the guy's name was, the last time, it was a bit hit and miss. Apart from maybe Edward and one or two others, there was a lot of misses in there, Kouassi and Baku and all of that. So does Simon have an idea how all that's all going to work?
In terms of recruitment?
Yeah.
I don't, if I'm being honest with you, Paul. I think if the board were going to the lengths, I believe, to go and speak to Brendan, I think he would have his own kind of, not demands, but he'd be wanting his own side of it as well, you know, assurances before he took the job. I think you only have to look to the success of the last 2 years with Ange. A lot of those players are quite obviously players that he knew, because that was a league that he played in, or worked in rather, and worked with some of those players and knew of the other players that had been playing against them. So it's quite obvious that he had, well, from the outside looking in, it looked as if full control. So you would think, or I would think, that Brendan Rodgers would want that coming back in.
Yeah, you'd expect that would have been part of the discussions that you held with, you know, Dermot Desmond and Michael Nicholson.
Yeah.
But on top of that, does it seem like Celtic's transfer strategy had maybe changed from the time that Brendan Rodgers was there to the last couple of seasons with Ange Postecoglou? Because Brendan Rodgers had made a couple of noises about maybe transfers that he wasn't too keen on, or he wasn't too happy about, whereas you can see with a lot of the signings made by Ange Postecoglou that had his fingerprints all over them.
I think he made most of them, if not all of them. And it's obvious, the Japanese lads, it just came from that league. And almost to a man, they were really successful. So then, you get the belief and the backing to go and do it again last season. And he did. You know, he brought in the likes of Tati and Maeda at the turn of the year last year. So I think that would be involved in the conversations with if it's Brendan coming back in, definitely.
Paul, what are you most excited about if it is Brendan Rodgers that comes in?
If reports are to be believed that he's going to get a bigger budget in terms of being able to push on in Europe. And I think the story of the last time was that he was let down with buying certain players, and that's why he left. So, I mean, obviously Peter Lovell's back at the club, so I don't know how that relationship's going to go. So, I mean, I think I'm excited about him in terms of being a coach, in terms of, I mean, I think you could split a line between the best Brendan Rodgers team performances and the best Ange Ball performances, you know, with Dembele and Tierney and all these guys. So if he can get, I suppose it remains to be seen if he can get the response from, dare I say, Angie's players. I think that's always a challenge for new managers, but there's no doubt that he's an elite coach.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these players have been handpicked because they play the style, or they're very suited to the style that Ange Postecoglou plays. So that is the challenge for Brendan Rodgers, to go in and either fit them into his system or possibly make changes where needed.
Yeah, that's the interesting side of it, to see how it kind of manifests itself. If he goes down the same route, he'll want to put his own kind of stamp on the team, I would imagine. Whether that means giving players different roles or bringing in different players completely. I just think that the players that are there just now, you know, any coach getting in, we'd love to work with them. You know, most of them have been really good over the two seasons. And for me, I think they're younger and they're getting better. They get better that season there than the last one. And they're growing. They've had more experience in Europe. They've had experience in the Champions League last year. And I think that will improve them as well. And add that to the mix of the experience of Brendan Rodgers coming in, I think, yeah, it is exciting times.
Paul, there was a lot of animosity 4 years ago when Brendan Rodgers left the club. I just wonder, what was your view at the time on his departure? And, you know, do you still feel any of that with his sort of, you know, imminent arrival again?
I think one question mark over Brendan Rodgers is that he's a bit of a, what I call a fizzy drink manager. He seems to lose his impact within, you know, in maybe his third or fourth season. So whether that happens again, I mean, I think in terms of the fans welcome back, fans have got short memories, you know, players that come into clubs and all of that. I don't see that as a major issue, but I think it remains to be seen how, and I think again, most fans are probably set up for the fact that if he does make the same job of it that he did the last time and make an impact in Europe, then he'll probably be offered a bigger job again. You know, and you've got to remember, Brendan Rodgers and Ange Postecoglou did not make that much money as players. So, you know, I don't see any issue with them maximising their own earning power at their stage of their career. So I think if we have Brendan for 2-3 seasons and he improves on the last time, then that's a good outcome.
Well, Paul says he'd maybe be quite gracious if, you know, Brendan Rodgers, if he finds success and decides to
success
move
dictates.
Up.
Success dictates.
He was successful last time, though, and left. And
I know,
people
but it was the timing,
about
it. It was the timing of it, and that's what upset most of the Celtic support. I think they were you know, going towards the title. And I don't know the reasons for it, but that is football. Listen, I've been in changing rooms with players and I come in the next day and somebody's away. You know, when there wasn't transfer windows, it's the coming and going of football. Celtic is a massive club, Andrew, but unfortunately, from that point of view, we're not regarded as a massive league. You know, the Premiership lures players, it lures managers. Other places in Europe, you know, Celtic have lost players to the German, the Bundesliga of late. It's just the way football is, but if I'm looking at it, you know, from the Celtic point of view, you're getting a manager there. I think Paul described him as an elite manager. The guy's managed at the top level with Liverpool, with Leicester in the Premiership. Yes, it hasn't finished greatly this time, and he's had huge success at Celtic before. So I think, as I say, I'm not wanting to, undermine him by saying it's safe hands, but it's capable hands of, and it would be a guy that I think would keep the momentum going that's been created in the last two seasons.
Does that make him less of a risk than the other managers that were mentioned, whether it's Enzo Maresca, who looks as if he
that's
may well
always,
be taking the Leicester job now,
that's always a concern, you know, managers coming in, learning about the club, what was it, the size of a club, have you been at I don't think any of these guys would have managed, certainly the Bodo Glimt manager, they wouldn't have experienced something the size of Celtic. Now, you could say that about Ange when he came in, and that's maybe an exceptional job that he did in the 2 years there. But yeah, definitely from that point of view, as I say, Brendan sat in that seat before, you know, and with huge success.
Well, thank you to Paul. Any thoughts on any of these topics, you can get involved. 0141 951 1025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Simon Donnelly in the studio with me, Andrew McLean. We will take a look at Scotland against Norway very shortly, but let's get a final opinion of the night on Celtic and Brendan Rodgers. Chris is a Celtic fan in Postle Park, and Chris, I think you maybe want to take issue with something Simon said earlier.
About what he said about he liked Postecoglou's approach in Europe. I don't think Postecoglou had an approach in Europe, to be honest, because I remember one particular game in Leverkusen where Celtic were 2-1 up, and it happens to get to the next stage of the Europa League, and they substituted three strikers for three strikers. I may be wrong, maybe two for two, but it was only 7 minutes to go in the game and we lost the game 3-2. And that actually brings it to the next point about who's a better manager, Ange Postecoglou or Brendan Rodgers. I don't think there's any debate whatsoever about that. I don't think Brendan Rodgers would have got his beat from that situation.
It's a big question, Simon, first of all.
Did Beaton not go off that night injured? Was that game? Can you remember?
He may well have done.
I thought that was the turning point in that game. Listen, when I said about my approach, Chris might be right. I think maybe Ange approached every game the same way. That's my taste. Listen, I said earlier on, it might be naive, but that's what I like to see Celtic going and trying to beat teams, whether it's at home or away. I don't want them sitting in trying to get draws and stuff like that. It's just my own personal taste and what I like to see about football and how the way they go about their business. Yes, last year they get some heavy defeats, but we've talked about Brendan Rodgers getting, I was at a couple of the games where they get heavy defeats. You're playing against the cream of the cream in Europe at times, so it's just a personal taste of mine that's what I liked about his team. They always went out to win, and what I would say, as I said earlier on, I think the team will learn from last year. The likes of Starfelt and Carter Vickers, the combination gets stronger from the start. I think they'll be stronger again. The younger players that play from midfield to front, you know, they'll learn from it, and I think they'll be better for it. But that's just my personal taste, how they approach it.
Yeah, Chris, there were some Celtic fans like Simon that said they enjoyed, you know, watching the way that Celtic approached those games in Europe, especially in the group stage of the Champions League last season, despite the fact the results weren't there. Would you rather see a more reserved approach in the hope that the results will be there this season?
I was all for the approach to the group stages last season, but what I mean, the Celtic don't tend to do well away from home in Europe, and just with 7 minutes to go to get us to the next round of a knockout competition, I just thought that was bad management. So that stuck my mind from day one about Ange Postecoglou. I'm not going to say I'm not his biggest fan, but I've probably been his biggest critic, and I don't think he's compared to Brendan Rodgers management wise.
What do you think of that? Because
I think you've got to compare. I mean, they were both hugely successful in their time at Celtic. I mean, one won 7 out of 7 and the other won 5 out of 6 domestically. That's not bad. You know, and it's they both get different techniques or different styles, but they were both hugely successful in their time at Celtic.
Yeah, what is it for you, Chris, that, you know, you clearly think Brendan Rodgers is maybe head and shoulders above Ange Postecoglou in terms of management? What is it about Brendan Rodgers specifically that you feel he's better than Postecoglou?
His track record, what he's done in south of the border. Now, I thought he'd done a great job at Leicester as well, and he seems to be getting ridiculed for it. But I just think if you can get a guy of that calibre back, then for me it's a great appointment.
Some people, Simon, may argue that, you know, Brendan Rodgers did what he did at Celtic and then went down to Leicester. Ange Postecoglou has been poached by Tottenham, who are a bigger club. They've certainly seen something in him.
Listen, I think I know what Chris is meaning. I'm not I'm not disagreeing with him. I think if Brendan Rodgers is announced today or tomorrow, I think it's an excellent appointment. So I'm not arguing with him at all there. In terms of comparing the two, you can only really compare them on their success at Celtic. Ange has went to Tottenham. Let's see what Ange achieves there. But they were both excellent at Celtic and different styles. And as I say, it's just a personal preference. Just as we were talking there, I wrote down, I was involved in a game 5-4 against Tyrrell. I remember watching Celtic beat Cologne 3-0 to turn around. Partizan Belgrade, Jakanovski scoring 4 goals, all but Celtic went out. I just think that's the style, and it's just a personal taste. I think that's what I want to see Celtic taking to the European platform.
Chris, how do you think Brendan Rodgers will get on with this current squad? There's obviously been a lot of changes, not many players that were there in his last spell in charge.
I honestly don't think he'll be making too many changes. There is a good squad there, but there's a wee inkling in my head that I think maybe the Asian players might be turned a wee bit. I see Hatate's actually fishing for a move, well, you're reading the papers, but if they could keep Kyogo, I'd be happy, but if they don't want to be here, then they can go, the same as Ange Postecoglou went. So I'm sure, I'm quite trusting that he build his own team, and what we're reading, if he's getting the backing, then I'm confident he'll build another good team.
Yeah, I think I saw some quotes. It was Real Hatate on international duty, and obviously, you know, they're translated and things like that, so you never maybe get an exact reading. I think it was just a case of him saying, you know, if there is that opportunity to take a step to the next level, then he'd like to do it. But I think that's a thing that most footballers would say. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to leave this window.
Well, I hope not, because I've really enjoyed watching the lad play, and I think he's going to get better and better. But again, it's the same as what we said earlier on, that if it's Europe or the English Premiership, it's not the fact that it's Celtic. It's just they're going to a bigger league. Financially, it's more as well. I hope that the lads stick around for a little bit more and develop a wee bit, and we see what blend, if Brendan comes in, what he can bring to it with the players that are there, because the players have been excellent. They have, and I've enjoyed watching them. So it'd be a shame to see this team break up so quickly. And if I'm being honest, I don't see it happening.
Well, thank you to Chris. Let's turn our attentions to international matters, because we are getting closer to that game in Oslo on Saturday. Of course, it's Norway against Scotland. 5 o'clock kickoff. It's been an excellent start to this qualifying campaign, and now a big challenge away from home. Do you think the players will just be full of confidence when you look at the last international break, the performance against Spain, the good feeling around that? Yes, there are, you know, two massive, you know, world stars in terms of Erling Haaland, Martin Odegaard in that Norway team.
We've got ours, Andrew, and we've showed against Spain. You know, people can say what they like, but we beat Spain 2-0. And we've got some really good players, experience now. You know, they've been at finals, they've been successful in qualification campaigns. They're playing, you know, what you would regard as one of the biggest leagues, a lot of them. You know, accompanied by some really good players from our league. So it's a really good squad we've got. It's a hard game going to Norway. I remember over the years, difficult place, you know, the old cliche, but they've got a goal machine, an absolute goal machine up front. And as you said, Odegaard's no slouch either. Fantastic midfielder. So we're going to have to be at our best, but we can achieve something. I said to you off air that I would take a draw, but I'm greedy. We could go there and get a win. If we perform, we're good enough to go and get a result there. We've shown it before, but we have to be at the top of our game.
And that matched with, if Scotland are able to get 4 points or 6 points from this international break, you know, coupled with the six points from last time, what a strong position after just four games that would put Scotland
four
in.
4 points would be fantastic. You know, and Georgia, you would think at home that we would be good enough to go and beat them. You know, we're Scotland, so we'll never count the 3 points until they're in the bag. But we've got off to a great start, and if we get 4 points out of six, we're in pole position to get to Germany.
You know, and plenty of people will be focusing on Erling Haaland in particular, but you think the Norway team will have watched, they'll have watched back the game against Spain, Scotland's game against Spain, and they'll be thinking, look, there are dangerous players in that Scotland team that we need to make sure that we're wary of.
And a lot of them will play against them as well in the English Premiership, the likes of McGinn's and these guys. I think Scotland nowadays, nobody will take us lightly. We've shown what we can do, especially in the last game. You know, the whole of Europe would have sat up and looked at the the fact that we beat Spain at Hampden, it was a great performance, and it will take another one similar on Saturday. As I said, if we can keep Haaland quiet, we have a chance.
Just quickly, from a striking perspective, who leads the line for you? No, Shea Adams.
I don't know. As long as John McGinn's playing, he's my talisman. Play him up. You know, I think that's been one of the things with Steve Clarke, playing him further forward. He'll score us a goal.
Yeah, there certainly are options up there. Lyndon Dykes has been a brilliant player for Scotland at international level. Of course, Lawrence Shanklin, Kevin Nisbet have been really good domestically as well. But we will see closer to the time. We'll get more build-up to that game tomorrow night. But unfortunately, that is all we've got time for tonight. So thank you for listening in. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your tweets. Thank you to Simon Donnelly in the studio. I will be back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock with Hugh Keevans. We'll bring you more on that Brendan Rodgers story. We'll maybe talk a bit more about Sam Lammers, that new Rangers striker that's been brought in on a 4-year deal. And of course, the final build-up to Norway against Scotland. But stay right there, because it's Throwback Thursday with Callum Gallagher next.